On the lonely streets of one small mountain town, old Joe wanders with his knife, looking for his next victim. About 100 miles away, strange lights hover over another mountain, taunting the locals and puzzling skeptics for nearly a century. Are these stories merely urban legends, or would recent photographic evidence suggest there's some truth behind the mystery? Let's delve back into the folklore of Appalachia to explore two strange stories that may have given rise to other urban legends throughout the country. Today, on Homespun Haints. Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I am Becky.
I'm Diana.
And we're going to move a little bit east back into the Appalachians. Sorry, Diana. I know you were hoping we would just continue.
I thought we'd get to Tulsa eventually.
We're going to move into the Appalachians, and we have had some amazing guests on the show so far, and we keep hearing about certain legends and certain places that have popped up, so we're going to explore two of those in depth a little bit more today. I hope you guys are ready for some urban legends / folklore / ghost stories from the Appalachians.
I think that's what they came for.
We don't have a guest today. Well, the guest is us.
I'm not a guest. I live here.
Oh, we live in
the airwaves.
Before we start with that, though, I've been on the hunt for a ladder.
A ladder?
So, Diana, you just mentioned that you had been painting the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
but it's a rental.
Oh, yes, not here at the house I just moved out of.
Why? But you moved out. Why are you painting the ceiling?
So that it can be sold. The ceiling was black.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that like black ceilings. Well, I have a ceiling that has to be painted, too.
Ah, good luck. It sucks.
I know. Well, I have 20-foot ceilings. My daughter really wanted her room to be done in dark academia style.
Aw.
Yeah. Really cute.
That's like my room mm-hmm. with the blood red walls and the black ceiling.
Right. I said no blood red walls and black ceiling. But
that's why
I did let her pick out. She wanted really, really dark green. And I let her pick out a dark green for the smallest wall. And then I let her pick out a complementary lighter green for the other walls.
That's smart. Yeah, you'd be amazed at how much light gets sucked up by dark walls.
We couldn't get a painter because apparently nobody wants to paint 20-foot walls. And I found somebody who gave me a quote for $800 to paint one room. And I was like, no, 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 no. Well, all I had at my disposal was my dad's 8-foot ladder. It was the tallest I could get.
Oh, no. 8 foot plus Becky does not equal 20 feet.
No, no,
no.
But if you take a pole and then you duct tape a paintbrush to it,
oh, geez,
you could get a pretty decent job done. This is what I did.
Oh, no.
I duct taped a paintbrush to a pole. Stood on the tippy top of this 8-foot ladder, and I did a pretty good job. But as you can imagine, this thing was really unwieldy.
Oh yeah, you don't say.
The edging was difficult, as you can imagine. And I got some paint on the ceiling that was not supposed to be there.
You're kidding. How'd you do that?
Well, the ceiling's angled, so I'll get up to the edge, and then I'll be like, oh, good, that's done. And then take the paintbrush and go whoop and accidentally paint across the ceiling as I'm bringing it down again.
That'll do it.
So I had to get a larger ladder to fix the mistakes made by my trying to do it my own. And of course, this whole time, this has been like 6 months in the process, and my husband's just angry every time he goes in the room and he sees these green washes of paint across the ceiling that's like 20 feet away, and he's just angry. He's like, why couldn't you have paid that guy? And I'm like, $800? That's money I don't have. I can spend $100 on paint. Yeah, sure, no problem. $800? And they're probably not going to do a better job than I could do. I mean, it might take me several times. I will fix this. So I got tired of him complaining. So I went down to Ace Hardware and I was like, I need to buy a ladder. And they're like, oh, we got one ladder here. And I was like, well, how tall is it? And they're like, it's 5 feet. I was like, that's not good. I got a 5-foot ladder.
What?
I was like, I need like a 14-foot ladder or an 18-foot ladder. I really wanted to get one of those cool telescoping 17-foot ladders. You know how much those things cost?
Oh, a whole lot. That's why I don't own one.
Yeah, I was like, I might as well have just hired the painter.
Why not just go to your neighbors? I mean, every neighborhood has the neighborhood ladder lender. there's somebody in your neighborhood who has a 14-foot ladder. You just show up at his house and take the ladder. He'll never notice. People don't use ladders more than like once or twice. You got to find some like old couple that used to clean their own gutters and doesn't anymore and just has a ladder stuck in the back of the garage or something.
Well, usually that would be my dad, but the biggest one he's got is 8 feet. So I go to Ace and I'm like, all right, well, that's it. Okay, I guess I'm leaving. But this guy really wanted to make a sale.
5 foot ladder. Okay, here's the deal. Get 2 5-foot ladders and then balance another ladder on top of them.
Well, it'd be like when I was in college and trying to change the light bulbs in my ceiling in my old Victorian apartment with the really high ceilings. And I remember just putting on my like 6-inch platform shoes and standing on a table.
That'll work.
It's amazing I didn't break my neck. Yep. Table with a card table. It was all I could afford.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I was a lot smaller then, even. Anyway, this guy really wants to make a sale. So he's like, hang on. I think we have a ladder in the back.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. He's like, let me go look. And he goes back there. And he comes back out. And he's like, I have a 12-foot ladder. But we've been using it because, you know, we needed to use it for something. So it's gently used. He's like, I'll give it to you for half off. I was like, oh, that's great. Half off? Gently used? Yeah, totally. I was like, can I see it? He's like, no, it's fine. When you're ready to pick it up, I'll show it to you. I was like, okay. I called my husband. I was like, hey, how do you feel about this? Rather than getting one of those cool telescoping ones, we could just get this thing, but we can get it really cheap. He's like, yeah, sounds like a good deal. We're trying to figure out how we're going to get it home. And I come back and I was like, okay, I think we'll do it. And he's like, okay, let me, and he's like, oh crap, I closed the screen on the computer where I had it. Let me go look in the back again and see what the serial number is on it. And he's like, okay, this is weird. He comes back. He's like, you know, I was wrong. It's actually 14 feet. I was like, okay, even better. Okay. And he's like, you know what? Maybe it's 16 feet. And at this point, I'm starting to get a little suspicious. I'm
like, the mystical expanding ladder.
What is going on with this ladder? I'm like, he's like, yeah, I think it's 16 feet. I'm like, doesn't it say on the ladder how tall it is?
Thing.
Like, how gently used is this thing? Anyway, so I buy the ladder sight unseen, thinking I'm getting a 16-foot ladder or something. I don't know. I go home, do my thing. Next day, on our lunch break, my husband and I load up the truck and we drive over to get the ladder. I come in through the front door and there's somebody else working there. And this woman who's working there, she's awesome. She helped me refinish the cabinet that I picked up from my grandmother. She like walked me through the whole process. This is why I love Ace. They're not paying me to say this. Ace Hardware is the best. So I come in there and I'm like, hey, so-and-so sold me a ladder. Said it's in the back. I'm here to pick it up. And she just looks really annoyed. She's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen it, but he sold me this ladder. Here's the receipt. And she just like gets huffy and just marches out from behind the counter and marches toward the back. I followed her because I was like, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's going on. And she slams through the back door. She doesn't know I'm there. She runs in and starts yelling at the guy, why would you sell our 14-foot ladder? What are we going to do now? That's our work ladder. How are we going to get stuff off the top shelf now? And he's like, I'll buy a new one. She's like, why did you tell her we had a ladder? And he's like, well, she needed a ladder, so I was going to sell her one. And she's like, that's not how it works. So I'm just listening to this whole thing going, holy shit, somebody's in trouble. But we load the ladder up into the truck, and it is more than gently used. I don't know how old this thing is, but I mean, it's like covered in dirt and spider webs. All the stickers have been removed. You can barely see the brand name. It's all faded out. This thing's probably been outside. They probably used it to like scrape things off the roof. I mean, this is a used ladder. We get it in the truck and we bring it home and we pull it out and I measure it. And it's a 10-foot ladder.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
But I don't think I can return it.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I called.
They weren't allowed to sell it to you. You're allowed to return it. I think if anyone could break the rules.
Well, I called the guy back and I was like, So you sold me a 10-foot ladder for the price of a very used 14-foot ladder. So he refunded me. He refunded me quite a bit. I think he refunded me more than he was supposed to. He sent me like a photograph of the receipt from his cell phone. So I have a 10-foot ladder now. So I might be in it.
Wow.
In my platform shoes trying to fix the ceiling.
I have a feeling the manager of Ace Hardware needs to hear this episode. Anybody knows them. You may want to get on this. This is an issue. At least once.
Well, he kept going on. He's like, you know, it's my job to make sure the customer gets what they want. You came in, you wanted a ladder. I found you a ladder. Anyway, if you need a 10-foot ladder, anybody?
Becky is now the neighborhood ladder loaner.
You can have it for $20
an hour. Should anybody need it. Exactly. Always got to have a neighborhood ladder loaner, and now
yes,
it's you.
I guess so, but 10 feet isn't really that high. My husband's like, I don't think you're going to even be able to change the light bulbs with that thing.
Yeah, I don't know what 10 feet is good for. Is it an A-frame ladder? Or?
Yeah, it's an A-frame.
I don't think those get higher than about 10 feet.
So I have a ladder now. Don't know where I'm going to put a 10-foot ladder.
Not quite tall enough and not quite small enough to be easy to store.
Yeah, yay.
Mm. Maybe you can build like a slide in the backyard and use that as the ladder for it.
That's a really good idea. Anyway, speaking of country, let's talk a little bit about what's going to be happening next week. So as you all know, Diana and I are going to be traveling to the Appalachians.
Ball hooting up the mountain.
Ball hooting through the Appalachians. If you are a patron, a paid patron on our Patreon, you will have access to various videos and recordings that we do along the way, as well as some live streaming from some haunted locations. But if you are not a patron, then you will be able to get an abridged version of it next episode. We're going to be recording parts of our adventures and bringing it to you in a full-length episode on our Homespun Haynes podcast. I think we can pull that off, right, Diana?
Absolutely. We can do anything we put our minds to.
Yeah, exactly. Except levitate. Not been able to do that yet.
Yet. We're working on it. We'll let you know.
But if you are a patron, please make sure you're following us on patreon.com/homespunheats, where we'll have an itinerary of when you can log on, when you'll see where we're at. We'll also share with you where we're going and what times, so you can kind of live vicariously through us as we post videos on there.
If you've ever wanted to experience the Appalachian mountain range secondhand.
Just like my jeans during the grunge era.
Ooh, we'll call it the secondhand Smoky Mountains.
Secondhand Smokies. That ain't your Papaw cigarettes either.
I was so grossed out by the description of cotton ball tobacco that Deborah gave.
Oh my goodness. Yes, in last week's episode. Oh, so just a little segue here. I twisted my ankle really badly when I was in sixth grade. And so I had to do the crutches thing, which is hard if you don't have a lot of arm strength. And
you're trying to navigate through a crowded middle school with a backpack.
Yeah.
With a locker.
Stairs, no elevators, no ADA compliance whatsoever, no air conditioning.
Oh.
We were kind of poor. I remember those warm months in the fall and late spring and just sitting there and the skin on the back of my legs when I was wearing short shorts just sticking to that plastic chair from the heat.
The smooth plastic chair with no bumps on it to break up the adhesion of thigh skin. I've been there, done that.
Haven't we all? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fun.
In our little one-room schoolhouses with the bells on top that we grew up at.
Except mine also had a lot of staircases. There was a problem. It was actually a problem in my elementary school, too, but it wasn't as much of a problem because the only culprits in my elementary school were the janitorial staff that caused this to happen. But they definitely did. But in my middle school, it was a real problem because there was so much tobacco usage that...
By the students or the faculty?
The students. Oh. The faculty would spit it out outside. But the students, they would get these like massive loogies as a result of all the tar and everything. And sometimes there'd be a wad of tobacco too, but it was usually these just like giant green loogies all over the floor.
Gross.
The hard part about being on crutches is if you accidentally put your crutch in one of those, you slip all the way down the hall. And I did that so many times. It was so gross. Oh. I was like, could you guys just do that outside or something? It's bad enough that that's coming out of your body to begin with.
Don't spit on the floor.
Well, where else are they going to? I mean, it's not like
the cuspidor. That's what it's for.
They did not.
Part of the song.
Provide spittoons for the sixth
Bring
graders.
Your own spittoon. Bring You're from the spittoon. Country. You got a spittoon. You got like a travel spittoon.
Maybe this should be one of the charities that I plan to do when I'm old and rich, is to provide spittoons
for rural high schoolers.
middle schoolers.
Middle schoolers.
Yeah. And by the time you're in high school, I think that you've moved on to cigarettes because you're not trying to hide it anymore. The chewing tobacco, you can kind of hide it.
I have tried chewing tobacco one time.
Why?
Because I was at a party and somebody had some and there was wine involved and bad decision making ensues. So I thought, well, why not try it just to see what it's like? And it was like a whole lot of nausea and vomiting. That's what it was like. Can't recommend. One star.
No offense to anybody out there who does do chaw, but it's never been something I could get behind.
I mean, the fortitude it would take, personality-wise, to just keep at it until you get used to it. That's some fortitude. That's determination. That person, when they put their mind to it, I'm sure they really could levitate.
I bet you're right.
If you can get used to chewing tobacco, you can definitely do anything.
I bet if you had a 10-foot ladder, you could levitate.
You could, for at least a few seconds before you collapsed on the floor. Like Wile E. Coyote running off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't try it.
Maybe don't. We do not give medical advice here on the show.
Exactly. Do not listen to us. Levitation device.
Anyway, back to our Patreon. Be sure you follow us on our adventures on our Patreon. And
if you're not going to follow us, that's okay. We have this commercial for you. Okay, now you're going to tell me stories of mysteries.
Diana, I am going to tell you the story of the Freddy Krueger of East Tennessee.
What? This is exciting. Mm-hmm. I love Freddy Krueger.
Who doesn't love the idea of something you can't even escape from when you're asleep?
Right.
But he just looks like Freddy Krueger in description only. He comes after you while you're very much awake.
Oh, that's too bad.
On our Patreon and on a very recent episode, we spoke about the little town of Rogersville, Tennessee, which is where I stayed the night when I went up there most recently. I stayed at the Hale Springs Inn and had some spooky encounters. While I was relaying that story to Diana, we were doing a lot of research trying to figure out what else may have happened in Rogersville, because surely a town of that size has got to have a lot of ghost stories.
I'd like some context for size.
Well, it's not as small as Huntsville, Tennessee, which is where Miranda and Christie's jail is, but it's not much bigger. The population of Rogersville is about 4,000. So This is a small town. If you were to go through the steps of trying to find this urban legend in Rogersville, because the population is so small, you have, I've calculated this out, a 1 in 4 chance of encountering this entity.
Really?
Yes, because that's how my math maths.
All right.
Statistics. I'm not saying 1,000 people have seen him, but we're just going to make that up and say they have. There is a man, or not really a man, a ghost, I guess I should say. A ghost that likes to torment those that are so bold as to park in a lover's lane. Now, I don't know if lover's lanes are still a thing. Are they still a thing, Diana?
I'm not sure. It doesn't feel safe anymore. Definitely feels like you'd have more of a chance of encountering the hook-handed man from the urban legend nowadays.
The whole lover's lane thing was made up to keep teenagers from snogging in the back seat.
That's
on
true.
Friday evenings. It was like, ooh, you're doing something wrong, so something bad's going to happen to you.
Lots of legends have celibacy as a moral.
And this one could be very much the same. Imagine this. Picture this scene. You're driving along the road with the guy or the girl or the non-binary entity that you have been dreaming about for ages. And the person you're on the date with says, hey, I know a spot up the road. And you say, ooh, that sounds nice. Curfew isn't for at least 45 minutes. Why don't we pull over? The car pulls to the edge of the road just as the fog rolls in. You're the only ones anywhere. And your date puts the car in park, turns on a sexy Elvis song, something like Love Me Tender, and starts to reach for you. Your heart starts to beat just a little bit faster. You can almost feel it hitting your ribs. Is this going to be the kiss that you've been waiting for all night? As you slowly start to move your hips in the bucket seat, trying to figure out how you're going to seductively scooch over for a smooch without ramming the gear shift into your stomach, you hear footsteps outside the window. You can't quite see what it is. Who could it be? Nobody's out here. Maybe it's a farmer. Maybe it's the landowner. Maybe it's one of the ghosts of the old coal mine down the road. But whatever the case, you're not going to be distracted by that. Maybe whoever it is won't even be able to see you in the thick fog. As you move over a little closer, just as Elvis hits that high note, your door flings open. And you look back. Is it a police officer? Is it your mom? Is it your jealous ex-boyfriend? No, it's Old Tom.
Old Tom?
Old Tom. You know it's Old Tom because his head looks perfectly normal, but the rest of him is just a skeleton.
What?
And under that skeleton, under his ragged shirt, his heart still beats. And that beating heart is the last thing you see as he eviscerates you with his Old Tom knife and plunges it into your gut.
Why does he have an Old Tom knife?
I don't know. It's just the knife he has. So Old Tom goes after women. He goes after women that are catching a smooch from their date. He likes to go after young couples that have pulled over to the sides of the road or into a lover's lane or anywhere else that young teenagers these days like to hang out and get a little action while mom and dad think that they're at the skate rink. Do kids still go to skate rinks? Probably not. There is one down the street from us, and apparently it's really authentic. It even has, like, carpet on the walls and stuff, and Paula Abdul nice. Playing on the... Yeah, I can't wait to check it out. But the story of Old Tom is very specific to Rogersville. He's not the man with the hook. He's the man with the skeleton body.
And the man with the skeleton body and the man head.
And the man head, yeah. So the story behind Old Tom is that Tom himself was once a very, very handsome young man. And he was what you would call a womanizer, a playboy. He liked to go out with a different lady every night. And one such night, he was out with a girl, and they pulled over on a lover's lane kind of place, and it was just a nice, beautiful night. The moon was out. There was no fog rolling in. There was no hook man. There were no minor ghosts banging on the windows. No deadites come up looking for meat. No, it was just Tom and his girl of the day. Well, they were in the back seat, doing it like you do on the Discovery Channel, having a wild time, and all the fog that happened was inside the car now. And they saw lights breaking through just as the lady was about to reach that big, oh, Tom. And the lights got closer and closer, and they realized the car had stopped. They thought it was police at first, but it wasn't the police. No, that would have been okay. No, it was the girl's husband.
Uh-oh.
This man, this husband, I guess there was a reason that she was trying to get away from him, because he wasn't the nicest of guys. He banged on the window, and Tom rolled it down, and the girl said, "Oh no, that's my husband." And Tom said, "What?" And he turns to the man and he says, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize that she was married. I'm really sorry." Well, the girl's husband was having none of that. The husband was apparently not just jealous, he was very jealous. And he was not going to let this go. There was not going to be any couples therapy for this estranged husband after this night. No, he was so angry that he grabbed the girl by the hair, and from behind his back, he pulled out a giant knife and plunged it deep into her stomach. And then he pulled it up all the way to her neck, practically splitting her in two. Well, old Tom, he was kind of freaked out by this scene. Yeah. So he started to run.
I would.
The husband was bigger, and the husband came up behind Tom and grabbed him and did the exact same thing.
Ooh.
All while screaming, "I'm going to skin you alive, boy. I'm going to skin you alive."
How did Tom become the bad guy in this scenario?
That's interesting, right? Because the girl survived.
Oh.
She went to the hospital. They sewed her back together. She made it. Man went to prison. Oh. Justice was served, but Tom's body was never found.
Ooh, none of the parts?
None of the parts.
Wow.
Legend has that Tom got really angry that this is how he ended up. That harlot, that Jezebel, who led him into temptation and didn't tell him that she was married, because this is the way he thinks, as he does still have his head. But he has no skin, no muscle. He does still have his heart, which is filled with rage. And Tom, old Tom, he's got that knife that had been used to eviscerate him without his skin, without his muscle, but still with his head. And I'm sure he's still good looking. He walks around and he seeks out young women who are passionately involved in a lover's embrace because he wants to enact his revenge on all women because of one particular girl. The end.
Okay. Sounds like God. Right.
What? Yes.
In suffering, shall you bring forth children?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. of one sin, the original sin.
Right. He's still looking for that woman that caused him that pain, but he's just going to kill everybody in his path.
How did he go from being skinned to being a skeleton?
I don't know how metaphysics works. I'm assuming that once he didn't have the skin there, the muscles just fell out.
There was nothing holding them together.
Yeah, but the skeleton stays together because that just happens. You know, there's yeah. always skeletons. Skeletons stay together.
Perfectly articulated forever.
Supposedly, this happened in the 1930s when Tom was murdered, eviscerated, and skinned. So it's been almost 100 years. But I don't know about you. I'm not going to be stopping in for a smooch on a lover's lane in Rogersville anytime soon.
Are we going to be going through Rogersville on our trip?
We can if you want. Want to stage
something? I'll get somebody in the car. We'll see if he shows up.
We could try.
We'll see if he knows which woman to murder.
Wait a minute. There's five in here.
What? How'd this happen?
Original sin, man. We multiply. That's the story of old Tom, the Freddy Krueger of East Tennessee.
Terrifying. I'm just imagining this head teetering on this floppy, articulated skeleton with a heart beating in the chest, but no mm-hmm. organs or skin or muscles.
But clothes.
It makes... Oh, there are clothes. Okay.
He does have, but they're like ragged. They're like just ripped.
Of course, because he had to reach through them to get his skin off. So it makes sense that they're all tore up. But
yeah,
I'm thinking that like the Side Hill Hoofer, it should be pretty easy to unbalance this character. This entity.
This is a good point.
Because of him being a little top heavy, only having any fleshy bits in his brain, his head.
I mean, you know, your head is really heavy.
It's like 8 to 10 pounds on average. You could very easily knock somebody over who was a head on a skeleton. They wouldn't be able to get up necessarily. Because where's the muscle mass?
Like, I know my skeleton weighs about 6 pounds. So if my head weighs 10 pounds.
Oh, I actually know how much my skeleton weighs too. I have an impedance scale that tells me. Never thought to look at that stat before.
You don't want to know how much your bones weigh? I look at it every day.
Every day? Oh, every day. My bones weigh a little less.
Yeah, because you can build bone mass when you build your muscle. But old Tom has no muscle, so he can't build his bones. And bones do get brittle with age.
Well, true.
How much does your skeleton weigh, Diana?
My skeleton says it weighs 6.6 pounds.
Well, that makes sense. You're taller than me.
I am a little taller, yeah.
Well, speaking of eviscerations, let's move on to another legend from the mountains. And that we touched upon in our interview with Bump of the Night Society. And this is something that has boggled people in the Appalachians for generations. Diana, you actually put some information together about this in our show notes for that episode. Yes. We're talking about the Brown Mountain Lights. Are you tired of websites that have been Frankenstein together?
Oh, my website is so slow and creaky.
Every time I use the search bar, it just returns Abby Normal over and over again.
Becky's sister company, The Concept Spot, holds the secret to life itself and can create new life from nothing. In fact, we've been giving life to highly functional websites for the last 25 years using premium parts we swear we didn't salvage from graveyards.
Ooh, check out that head. Their image.
Instead of going,
my new website purrs.
Need a blog? The Concept Spot can do that. Want an online store? We can do that too.
We build our sites from the cellular level. No reused templates or discarded body parts here, so we can make your site do whatever you want and look however you want.
It's gorgeous! I can't even see the stitches.
We can also resurrect your dead website if rigor mortis has set in.
Oh, it's like a new man.
If you think Homespun Haints is frighteningly genius, you should see our websites. Let your favorite ghoulish gals, Becky and Diana, build you a monstrous website that will wreak havoc on the internet for years to come.
Visit theconceptspot.com for more information.
It's live! It's live!
This is a very old story. According to legend, the indigenous Cherokee and Catawba people of the area would tell about lights appearing along the edge of the mountain and seeming to move, bright lights. The Cherokee legend was something along the lines of, these lights are the spirits of the women who had lost their loved people, their family members, whatever, mm-hmm. who had lost their loved ones in battle, and that they, when the night falls, the spirits will take out their spirit lanterns and search along the edge of the mountain, trying to find the spirits that fell in the battle. And then there's a Catawba legend in the same area that purportedly was, the lights were the spirits of warriors who died defending their lands, and the spirits would watch over the land and continue to reenact their battles.
So these lights have been around for centuries.
For a long time. I think it looks like they were first written down in the early 20th century.
Now, just to be clear, Brown Mountain lights are not brown lights. They are lights
right.
around
colorful, brilliant orbs dancing along Brown Mountain.
Right,
the mountains. In the Blue Ridge Parkway. They're also not blue lights.
Right, right. We have a lot of colors here, but they're not necessarily descriptive correctly. Yeah, they're all different colors, and they dance around this particular mountain. It does seem to be along the edge, right? It's along the ridges of the mountains that you can see.
Along the crest, yeah.
Of these mountain lights. And there's a lot of things about the Appalachians that nobody's really explained why they happen. Like, we're not quite sure why we have balds on some of the highest points. But the Brown Mountain Lights are another one. It's a very particular mountain, very particular set of lights and legends that go back centuries, centuries and centuries and centuries about what could be causing them. The scientific explanation that has been given for what these lights are is that it's mirages created by trains, planes, and automobiles.
Well, that's a little ridiculous, considering these lights have been seen since long before automobiles, planes, trains, etc. In fact, they were first investigated by settlers in the 1920s, which would have been before these things would have been widespread in the area anyway.
Oh gosh, yeah, we were still on horseback here in the 20s.
Yeah.
No planes. There's still very few planes that go through here. Transportation through these areas is very sparse, and anybody who's lived there would know that. I've also heard static electricity mm-hmm. or foxfire. But again, why just on Brown Mountain? Why not also on Mount Mitchell or Chimney Rock? One of these other mountains, why just Brown Mountain?
So what is foxfire? The other day when we talked to Deborah, she was talking about St. Elmo's fire and how basically it's a visible luminous plasma created by a corona discharge on a sharp or pointed object. And she was talking about how you could sometimes see it on longhorn cattle because of their pronged horns. And it looks like a flame, but it's actually just plasma. That is one of the explanations, but that's different from foxfire, I believe. Which is also different from the combustion of swamp gas, which is another thing that they talk about when methane is released from the mountain and is spontaneously ignited when it contacts with oxygen.
Right, right.
Probably not what's going on since there aren't really any swamps there.
I mean, it can get humid and swampy, but it's not really like a swamp, not like what you see in Florida. But yeah, foxfire is certain fungi, mushrooms, funguses, fungi, whatever, will actually emit a glow. And it's like a bluish, greenish glow.
Why would you be able to see that from the bottom of a mountain?
Right.
That's a bright mushroom. We would have harvested these mushrooms for indoor lighting by now if they glowed that bright.
Actually, that has been done.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So the Turtle, which was a very, very early submarine.
What an innocent name for a vehicle of one.
It was built in 1775, so we're talking like Captain Nemo kind of stuff here.
Oh, wow, so it was just a bubble under a big steel dome with lead weights at the bottom, yeah.
Oh, you should see this thing. It's really cool looking. It's like a steampunk dream. So they actually put foxfire on the needles of the barometer and the compass on this thing so that they could read it.
Wait, is that what's on the needles of the odometer in my car? Because I know that close.
No.
Is that what the radium watches, they switched to foxfires so that they would be safer? Yeah.
That's uranium 235. No.
Oh.
There's a lot of things that glow that aren't fungi. I have heard foxfire given as an explanation for strange lights in the woods my entire life. My mother used to see orbs in the woods behind our house. In fact, the neighborhood I lived in was actually called Foxfire. That subdivision. And she was like, well, it must be foxfire. They must have named it that for a reason. I'm like, no, Mom, no, it's not. No, you don't see foxfire. And she's like, well, maybe it's ball lightning. I'm like, nobody really knows if that's a thing.
Right. That seems, everybody says, oh, ball lightning is an explanation for something. But is ball lightning itself unexplained?
Yes.
Because nobody really knows why it does what it does or what it is. Specifically, I mean, you can define it. It's a ball of luminescence that travels, but what makes it happen?
Yeah, this is the thing that kills me. It's this or that. And I'm like, but explain that.
Yeah.
Well, but it's the scientific community has accepted that it is. I'm like, but you can't explain it.
If you can't explain it, it's just another paranormal phenomenon.
Yes, exactly.
You could say it's ball lightning, but I still hear that as paranormal phenomenon.
I think the same when I hear, oh, shared hallucination.
Right.
That one kills me. I'm like, how is that less paranormal than
that seems paranormal in nature just by itself. Yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry. It wasn't a ghost. It was a shared hallucination brought on by ball lightning. So anyway, point being, nobody really knows what causes the brown mountain lights. There are some other legends about what could have caused it, besides some of the indigenous theories. Another story that has been circulating that I learned as a kid was that there was a pioneer woman on Brown Mountain who was brutally murdered. I don't know how or what. The story just says she was murdered. She was brutally murdered. And then her murderers dug a shallow grave along Brown Mountain and dumped the body, thinking, well, that's that. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's the 1700s. This is going to be fine. Nobody's ever going to come looking for her.
It's exactly what they said. It'll be fine. It's the 1700s.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I said in the 1700s.
That's what we all used to say.
Well, she gets up and wanders around now.
Wait, she's dead, though.
She's dead, but she gets up and wanders around. And the lights you see is her lantern.
Oh.
But the reason she moves around so much is because she is badly disfigured. The murderer just made a mess of her. Ripped off her skin, broke her nose, bludgeoned her eyes, her jaws on backwards, arms facing the wrong direction. She's just a mess. And she is afraid that she'll run into somebody she knows and they'll have to see her like that. And she doesn't want that to happen. So she moves
like
around.
Like Meryl Streep in Death Becomes Her.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't want anybody to see her like that. So her lantern is constantly moving around as she's trying to escape the eyes of those that might be disturbed by her appearance.
Plus, if her arms are on backwards, it's probably hard to hold the lantern steady.
Well, I made that part up, but yeah. Oh. But it's canon now.
That's how urban legends work.
We don't know her name, and of course, it's also just like old Tom. It's kind of a patriarchal take on things, right? Hmm. Oh, God forbid we see a woman who doesn't look pretty.
True. Interesting. That's kind of a generic story. Any evidence that that actually happened?
That the pioneer woman actually died?
Yeah.
No, but there's actually been photos of the lights and videos of the lights.
Ooh.
I can read the article from the very first publication of this, from 1913. I'm sure the copyright is long expired, hopefully. The mysterious light that is seen just above the horizon almost every night from Rattlesnake Knob near Cold Spring on the Morganton Road, about 7 miles from here, is still baffling all investigators. All theories as to its origin or nature have either been exploded or fall through from lack of evidence to support them. With punctual regularity, the light rises in a southeasterly direction from the point of observation just over the lower slope of Brown Mountain. First about 7:30 p.m., again about 20 or 30 minutes later, and again at 10 o'clock. It looks much like a toy fire balloon, a distinct ball with no atmosphere about it, and as nearly as the average observer can measure it, about the size of a toy balloon. It is much smaller than the full moon, much larger than any star, and fiery red. It rises in the far distance from beyond Brown Mountain, which is about 6 miles from Rattlesnake Knob, and after going up a short distance, wavers and goes out in less than 1 minute. The observer has to watch the sky closely at the right time, or he will miss it. It does not always appear in exactly the same place, but varies what must amount in the distance to several miles. The light is visible at all seasons. So Mr. Anderson Lovin, an old and reliable resident, testifies. During the winter, it appears far off to the south at the usual summer position and is not visible from Rattlesnake Knob. But it is seen from a point farther down the turnpike, around the point or ridge that hides it from the summer point of observation. Many have scoffed at this spooky thing, and those members of the Morganton Fishing Club who first saw it more than 2 years ago were laughed at and accused of seeing things at night as a result of a common human frailty. But as more and more persons have seen it, various attempts have been made to explain the mystery. That it is no mere reflection of some other lights has been disproved. Some have declared it was some practical joker sending up a light to mystify people, but it would hardly be kept up for several years, nor would it appear miles apart within a few minutes. Yeah, not in 1913.
No.
There seems to be no doubt that the light rises from some point in the wide, level country between Brown Mountain and the South Mountains, a distance of about 12 miles, though it is possible that it rises a still greater distance.
Hmm.
So, that's the article entitled No Explanation from the Charlotte Observer in September 24th, 1913.
And it was 1922 when the geologist investigated under the U.S. Geological Survey. Mm-hmm. And all after spending months and months and months and months observing these lights, they concluded that it was headlights and nothing more.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which the locals all said, what was it before it was headlights, before there were headlights here? And they said, mm-hmm. Oh, probably something else. So it didn't really put an end to the whole like arguing about what the nature of the lights were. I think it just kind of underscored that they are a little more mysterious than we have the capacity to study as of now.
It's always around the same mountain, and scientists and geologists can't figure out what's causing it. So it's probably not some weird natural phenomenon. I don't know, maybe it is.
But it's just a natural phenomenon we don't quite know about yet.
Which would make
like
it supernatural, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like ball lightning. Or it's just aliens.
But as our guests tell us a lot, everything's supernatural until you figure out the explanation for it.
Right, right.
A lot of things that are science now used to be supernatural.
Well, what do you think, Diana? Do you think this is something that we'll figure out? Do you think enough people care? Because it's just an isolated incident in an isolated mountain in the Blue Ridge Parkway.
And it doesn't seem to affect human affairs that much.
No.
Because the lights don't kill people. The lights don't make people sick. The lights don't abduct you. The lights don't make you lose time. The lights don't make you crazy, right? There's no specific
factors. I mean, there's not really enough people around there. I mean, right. Maybe.
Like, a doctor could order all thousands of medical tests for you, but you don't need them all. Same thing with the lights. We don't really need to know what they are. So it's kind of surprising that there have actually been several scientific teams and independent researchers trying to figure out what these lights are so far.
I want to know what they are. I do too.
I want
to believe.
Who's going to do the funding for this trip? Any sponsors want to fund this trip? We're going to figure it out once and for all.
We will spend 3 years at the Brown Mountain, relocate our families.
And that's so interesting that it shows up at a different spot in the winter versus in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That,
right?
To me, indicates that it has to do with some kind of sunlight, because the sun is going to be at a different position depending on the time of year, more so than any other.
If you have a solar powered alien space station hiding under a mountain, wouldn't you move the panels around?
That's a good point.
For the year?
Maybe that's what they're seeing, is the flashing when the aliens move the panels,
or just the sunlight glinting off of them.
Mm-hmm. The red of the setting sun from the other side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Glinting off the solar panels that the aliens have hidden up there for their secret under-mountain base. Perhaps it's the light shining upon the keyhole to Smog's lair. Who knows? It could be all sorts of things. I'm willing to investigate. I'm willing to consider anything. If you have a theory, let me know. We'll put it to the test. Right, when and if we get this funding.
Yeah. I do not think it's ghosts.
How could it not be ghosts? It's not been disproven to be ghosts.
I know, but it doesn't seem like
the Catawba ghosts. And Cherokee legends have to do with ghosts.
I mean, I'm sure the aliens were there during the Cherokee people. I mean, the aliens have probably been there for like 2,000 years.
Uh-oh. Exactly 2,000?
Yes, exactly 2,000.
Interesting.
What happened 2,000 years ago?
I've been watching Ancient Aliens.
Well, they didn't build the pyramids. They were over building a secret lab under Brown Mountain in North Carolina.
They were busy. They wish they could take responsibility for the pyramids.
No. They were watching the Egyptians build that, going, oh, that's a really good idea. Taking notes.
We should do that in the Appalachians.
Yeah. That's what we should do, is we should get funding to move the mountain and look at what's underneath.
There you go. Just lift it up and move it like a grand piano. Simple.
Or a 10-foot ladder.
Yeah. That's all you'd need to move that mountain.
I have a ladder we can bring to the mountain when we go out there. It only goes up 10 feet. But
it could go up 14. Who knows?
I haven't gone and remeasured it since I got the refund. Maybe it is like an Alice in Wonderland ladder. It just keeps changing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diana, thank you for listening to some urban legends / folklore with me.
Yes, that was intriguing, mysterious, and terrifying in some ways.
Again, if you guys enjoyed this, please look out for next week's episode, where we will be bringing you live snippets from our amazing trip. Well, recorded live, but like they'll be put together in a nice
from the road again. Thank you for telling me tales, tall though they may be, short though they may be,
spooky though they all are,
no more than 10 feet. Hainted loves, have you ever seen the Brown Mountain lights? Or have you ever been necking in a car when a skeletal hand rips your door from the hinges and plunges a knife deep into your abdomen? Because if that's not a spooky day, I don't know what is.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty, and produced by Homespun Haints Media LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.